Welcome to Looking Backward, where we unveil the hidden journeys behind entrepreneurial success. Dive into the stories of resilience, failure, and serendipity to see how looking backward can illuminate the path forward. I'm Chad, founder of Better Legal, which has grown to $2.5 million in annual revenue since inception in 2016, but I've been failing at startups since 2004, each misstep teaching me a valuable lesson. So let's dive into the real stories that shape success. Today, I don't want to interview somebody. I want to basically have a, I want to go through, this is an experiment, this podcast. Partly it is for me to hear really cool stories. I love talking to people about business, so it gives me an excuse to just get someone one-on-one and really, you know, dig deep and learn about them and how they got started and just their journey along the way. I love asking questions. So in between those, what I want to do is kind of try to maybe do like a quarterly organization. It's not going to be on the quarter, you know, Q1, Q2 type level. But what I'm thinking is maybe doing 8 interviews and then 4 kind of look back, just kind of in philosophical insights based on the last cohort of interviews. I don't know what to call it yet, but it's been floated out way back Wednesday since the name of the podcast is Looking Backward. But essentially, it's just going to be unscripted and just me speaking to you about the interviews that I had. And so far, we've had, not in order, Will Chang of Parting Pro, Jonathan Neuer of Captain Experiences, Will Churnland of Go Consulting, Paul Jackson of Animal House Fitness, Max Minsker of Bookmate, Ellen Cassidy of Elemental Prep, and Nisha Sangavi of Chickadee, and Quinn Rudolph of Arai Menswear. So that's this cohort. And what I want to talk about today is something that Paul said in his interview, which I've just been thinking about, which is getting your reps in. And I've heard that before, but it kind of stuck with me because I think starting a business definitely kind of fits into that. Or you can't just start a business first time, no experience, and it just work. There are people that do it. There are the Mark Zuckerbergs out there. There are the Steve Jobs. Even Steve Jobs actually was selling like the little AT&T blue boxes that were like little hacker things. But there are very few people that start a business and then it's just successful right off the bat. That is, those are the cover stories that you read in magazines. They are not the norm. The rest of us normies have to live with the grind. I don't like the word hustle, but I think there's a lot of grit that goes into starting a business. And you have to enjoy the journey. The journey is, it's problem solving, it's problems, it is finding solutions. If you do not enjoy the act of identifying a problem and finding the solution, or thinking you found the solution and kind of launching it, realizing it's not right, and having to iterate and do that over and over again until you find the right solution or the one that kind of works for you. Because there's always a hurdle. There's always a, you know, you think you've got the right idea and you start building it out. And then there's 15 things that come up that you didn't think about until you were actually building it and you have to kind of solve, you know, on the fly. But there's thousands of ways to get around that. And there's always a way to get what you want. It might not be the way that you want it. The Lean Startup, I think by Eric Ries, has a great section where they were building this kind of like Sim City. It's like Second Life. It was way back, I think, in the 90s. And they are having little people walk between things. And they didn't have the money for the development to like make the animation for like the people walking in this Second Life in this SimCity kind of world. And so they just had people teleport. And then it turns out that teleporting was the right way to do it, because nobody wanted to sit there and watch their character walk, you know, across to all the different areas of this, you know, virtual world. So it just so happened that the cheaper way was the right way. And you just don't know until you actually, you know, build it out. And so this episode is about getting your reps in. And so I want to look back at a few of the people that kind of meet that criteria. Will Chang, a parting pro, I wouldn't really say so. So he had a bunch of different experiences, internships, and the like, but I think parting pro was kind of, if I remember correctly, was kind of his first real crack at business, but it wasn't his first crack at problem solving. So he understood working in a company. Oh, you know what? That's not true. In the Chinese startups, he had a bunch of experience where he was having to do a bunch of different stuff. Sorry, I'm working off of a, I wonder if I should just share this. I'm working off of a, I uploaded all the transcripts into, for the last 8 episodes into a chat bot, into a GPT. And I'm basically asking it, I said, I want to do an episode about getting your reps in. And I was like, tell me about how everybody, fits this criteria. And I don't think I did a very good job building this GPT, or it's just not a very smart GPT. Because it just said, Will Chang, a parting pro, described his wide-ranging work experiences from internships at large companies like Disney and DreamWorks to creating startups like Bake Greek and Parting Pro. I'm not sure Bake Greek was in it, and it doesn't mention his Chinese experience in China building startups. So anyway, this thing isn't that smart. So I'm just going to go from memory and what this says. But anyway, Will Chang had all of the experiences in China that he was working with to, and also just uncovering things like where he didn't, like he thought he was the American that knew, you know, how to build a website, because this is how they did it in the States. And then it turned out that because their Wi-Fi or their internet connectivity wasn't that good, that you didn't want a minimalist site like Google where you searched and it provided you stuff. You wanted everything jammed into one page, because basically they didn't have a lot of ability to navigate the web quickly. So they needed a way to just dump all of the information on one page so people could actually get to what they want. So he basically had a lot of experience with learning that his assumptions were wrong and having to deal with that. And so I think that experience kind of helped him with Parting Pro once he got to that point. Will Chernlin of Goat Consulting was, running a casino in his parents' basement. Not super entrepreneurial, but what he did was he identified something that was happening. It was like a weekly basketball game, and people had school and then the basketball game, and there was like 3 hours in between, and they didn't have anywhere to go. And so he identified that that was a problem. Not a big problem, but it was a problem, and he developed a solution for it. And he made this kind of underground basement where you're selling snacks and Cokes and provided an experience for people. He created the community for the Amazon sellers that, got him to ramen profitability, but, he ended up selling it and then creating kind of a managed Amazon seller service, which became Goat Consulting. But all of these things were little steps, little baby steps on the way. Paul Jackson just had tons of experience building different things, you know, even when it was just when he talks about selling lemonade and realizing that people on the track or the trail, wherever he was selling lemonade that to the runners didn't want lemonade, they wanted water. And then one guy gave him, you know, a $20 tip, and he was like, okay, well, what if I just give away this water for free instead? And people were just tipping, and he was making more money on tips, giving away free water, than he was charging for lemonade. And so that is just something that he noticed at a young age. And so his brain started to get the reps in of like problem, solution, test, experiment. And then he, you know, was making his little brake levers, the customized brake levers, which are super cool. He made that like, pickup truck grill, which I still think is a great idea. Which, side note, this should be a whole episode. Just because an idea doesn't work out now doesn't mean it won't ever work out. Sometimes ideas have a time and place, or you're not experienced enough to execute on it, or you didn't find the right market yet. Sometimes it just takes time. Sometimes ideas that you had 5 years ago are now the right idea, and you've got the right experience and the right connections and the know-how. So Paul had tons of experience developing products, you know, developing the customized brake levers, developing a product that was a full grill that fit into your truck bed. And so he understood how to build these things and how to get them to market. Max Minsker had the, you know, esports basketball analytics. And then he just wanted to make money. So he just was, he thought bookkeeping was a great idea. So he was just doing bookkeeping for basically pennies. But nobody wanted to pay for it. So they're like, but we will pay you for tax stuff. That is him starting with one thing and then pivoting to something else because his customers told him to. He listened to his customers. He was getting his reps in and basically had his customers coming up to him and saying, hey, you're doing it wrong. You need to do it this way, not that way. Had he not developed the bookkeeping company, he would not have the tax company that is making millions of dollars a year. Ellen Cassidy bumped around all over the place. She, like, Elemental Pro is an evolution of the book she wrote, The Loophole. And The Loophole was from her experience with tutoring the LSAT, because she studied for the LSAT. It was a perfect straight line from one to the other. There was no pivoting. It was just a natural progression from one to another. But had she not taken the LSAT, had she not tutored the LSAT afterwards, had she not written that book, she wouldn't have gotten where she was. So it is a progression where you get your reps in and you do it a little bit better every time. You know, the gym analogy is just, it's too beautiful, where the reason you go to the gym is not to build your muscle. You go to the gym and you work out, and weightlifting breaks down your muscle. And so your muscle, your body says, hey, we need to be able to be prepared for this next time. So it builds it back bigger with rest. And so you can go break it down again. So it builds it bigger and becomes more efficient every single time, just like an entrepreneur with building a business. Nisha is a great example. You know, she was hawking those hair clips on the playground at, you know, she was less than 10 years old. I think she was customizing. She had the hair clips. The girls thought they were super cool. So she made a bunch of them and she started selling them. She immediately identified, okay, I have something of desire. Other people want it. I can make it. I know how to, I know what they want, and I can provide it to them. So, you know, it was kind of obvious that right out of college that she was going to be successful. She already had her 10 years of experience in doing this on a small scale. It doesn't matter how big or small your business is. It just matters that you got it done and you got a little bit of experience. You got a couple of reps in. And then, so you go do it, you know, the next month, the next year, whatever. But she, you know, and maybe you could even argue that when she specifically had the issue where she had the silly bands, so she was selling the licensed apparel, for her University of West Virginia. She got the licensing for the logo, the use of the brand, but she had to sell some product within a certain amount of time, or she lost the trademark or the logo license or however it was. And so she just needed some revenue. So her solution was just to make those little silly bands that were just like, you know, when you take them, you put them on the table, they're in the shape of a logo. And then when you put them on, they're just a band, a rubber band, like the old Livestrong bands that people used to wear. They allowed her to do that. And she sold $50,000 worth of those. They're just stupid little bands that go around your wrist and they make something cute. And she just needed to sell some of them in order to make revenue so she could keep the licensing, but she had a minimum order. She took the minimum order and she had the experience of getting out there on the playground and hawking this stuff. And she sold just frankly an absurd amount of them. And then we've got Quinn. Quinn was bebopping around like a madman all over the world. You know, he started the bike tour company. He was a food truck salesperson, I think, in Taiwan, just like a street vendor. He was very comfortable trying things. He wasn't embarrassed to do a job. He just found an idea, did it, and didn't think about it. And so it's, you know, you look at it and you're like, how come he was successful with drop shipping right off the bat first thing? Because he wasn't brand new to starting things. He had a bunch of experience doing this, and then he just took all of that experience and pumped it into this drop shipping business. And he just happened to also know the market very well. And it worked out. He even said afterwards, when he tried to spin up new drop shipping businesses for different things that he was not as knowledgeable with, he didn't have that spark. He couldn't translate that to a new brand. So it was paired. It was his experience and his reps, plus the fact that he knew the product. So that also talks about, you know, your reps can also be just talking to people and listening. It doesn't have to be necessarily starting a business, but kind of understanding your market. So one of the things I want to do is just talk about, famous entrepreneurs and how they kind of, you know, relate. So talk about the, interviewees that I have, as well as, you know, one or more, more famous people. I don't like the suggestions it gave me. So I'm going to talk about Michael Dell, because it actually did give me Michael Dell, about how Michael Dell started his, started building computers in his dorm room in college. And that's the famous thing. But what less people know about is the fact that Michael Dell ran a very successful newspaper, route. Your standard kid who is selling newspapers, you know, door to door. That's how he started. And he was making, I think he was making six figures doing this, like as a teenager. Like, it was ridiculous. Because he didn't just go knocking on doors. He identified his target audience. And that was him going to, I think he looked up, you know, the court records or the county records to see, you know, who the new, marriages were, or people that met criteria. So, two people just got married and this is where they live. He would go and identify them. And it's like, two people just moved in together and they're married. They need a newspaper route. And so he did that. And so when he was building computers in his dorm room at the University of Texas, that wasn't his first rodeo. That was him already having experience as an entrepreneur. And so I'm going to end this short episode with that. I would love to hear from y'all. You can comment on this episode. You can find me on Twitter, CSAKON. I enjoy interviewing people and I enjoy kind of summarizing this. And so I would like to hear feedback on, you know, what I can do better or what you want to hear about.